I want to talk to you today about the subject of wounding words. I'm going to review for a moment, and then I'm going to give you some new material, okay? We've often been said or heard, most inaccurate, one of the most inaccurate rhymes of all time, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We know that words do more than hurt. They leave deep wounds. And by the way, you can listen to this whole series coming up that I'm doing when we get it online at gracepointministries.net. You can just find out information there. Improperly treated, they leave spiritual and physical death. We're going to identify verbal wounds as important and distinguishing a snake bite from a knife wound. We talked about a snake bite on a chart in a emergency room with all the different toxins. Each of the different snake bite poison needs a different type of treatment. Wounding words bring about broken fellowship, bitterness, hatred, character destruction, unanswered prayer, defilement, envy, strife, confusion, and untold general hurt, which can lead to the loss of victory, joy, peace, and left unchecked, spiritual and physical death. We started yesterday talking about wounding words. We use James chapter 3, verse 8, and Psalm 140, verse 3. Poison is something that is active. Poison, a snake biting, it's active. Rust acting on metals deteriorate the metals. The use of words affects people's lives, acting on their soul, affecting their spirit, and destroys their self-worth. The first word we looked at was cutting words. Cutting words come from trusted friends, family, spouses, church members, anyone a person feels at ease with or is fellowshipping in life. Cutting words are listed in Psalm 55, 12 through 14, verse 21. They come not from an enemy. They come from a person like yourself, a companion, a close friend, a familiar friend. One that you've enjoyed close fellowship, one that attends the same church. Words sound smoother than butter, smoother than oil. The motive is attitude. There's war in the heart and has drawn swords to the wound, and they leave an immediate cut on the soul and spirit. Here are cutting words. We have decided that you are not entitled to any inheritance in our family because of the fact you were born of a harlot. That was actual scriptural words. You can read about them in Judges 11, 1 and 2 and verse 3 and what happened as a result of that. As a knife wound, we have to stop the bleeding. We have to stop the bleeding. After the bleeding stops, you have to cleanse the impurities from the cup. The victim of cutting words also needs a cleansing of the word over the wound, and it needs to be repeated regularly. We looked at Judges 11:7, that these wounds were surfacing years later, and how the response happened in the person that was damaged. And we talked about that. Again, you can hear the entire message of that, the entire teaching of that. It's going to be up on the website, gracepointministries.net. Go to the radio archives. Click on that archives. You'll go to several teachings. And we're going to have this series up. It's already up with, you know, Healing of Soul and Spirit. There's other series there, other places there. Okay, let's look at what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about today piercing words. Piercing words. come from an ambush. Now remember, we got a word from God the last time I taught this. The only thing that cleanses our wounds is a word from God, His holy word. Only thing. Now, let's deal with this one today, okay? Piercing words come from an ambush. They come suddenly, unexpectedly, disguised. The person receiving them is bushwhacked. The attack comes from the blind side, camouflaged under the cover, almost veiled. It's like a mugger who slips out of an alleyway and stabs his victim. That's what it's like. It's waiting in hiding. An attack that comes unseen, unnoticed, until the floor gives way. That's what happens. Now, let's look what are piercing words. And the definition of piercing words is found in the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 2. Check that. Book of Psalms, chapter 64, verse 2. Getting ahead of myself here. I'm so hyped up teaching you this. I don't want to rush through something and miss it. Psalm 64, 2 through 4. Here's what it says. Hide me from the counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Here's 3. Who welt their tongue like a sword and bend, look at this, their bows to shoot arrows, even bitter words. Verse 4. They may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Now notice this. Look at verse 2. They come from wicked individuals who have counseled together. I have faced some of those words in my life, and so have you, where people conspire and have conspiracy, and they get together, and they counsel together. Then verse 3, notice what happens. The Bible uses the word that is so powerful. It uses the word who welt. Welt is to sharpen by motion and vibration like a snake. The motion is used to ruin people by wicked words. These evil speakers have sharp arrows, barbed, dipped in poison, and have swords, flaming swords, two-edged swords, drawn in anger, with which to pierce and kill someone's good name or their life. That's right. That's what piercing words are. The arrow comes from verse 4, ambush. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect. They're ambush words. Suddenly, the person is being shot at, has no idea where the attack is coming from, nor the attacker from which it comes. See, that's where people out there ruin reputation. Hear these rumors, so-and-so is talking about such-and-such, and so-and-so is talking about whatever. And we've all been out there and had that happen to us, where you hear, well, somebody said something about you. Someone said something about you. Now, see, now here's important. The person doing the attacking has no fear because they know that they're hidden from the victim. Somebody says, well, who said that? Well, I don't really know. I don't know who said that. Well, you know, so I heard they said that. Who's they there? Well, we don't know who they is But we know, we hear these rumors, you know, somebody the other day just said something really rotten about you. They just told all kinds of lies about you. You know, they said some really nasty things about you. Well, who are they? Well, I don't really know. I don't really know who they are. But I know that they did. I know that they did. You see? So the one attacking you, you have absolutely no fear. Or they could attack you in a position that they have no fear. A boss attacks you. And he or she's in a position that even though you know about it, it's no big deal because they're in that position. Now listen to these piercing words. You ready? You are a wicked person. The Lord is paying you back for all the evil that you have done to other people. At last, you are getting a taste of your own medicine. You deserve everything that is coming to you. Let me read that again to you. You are a wicked person. The Lord is paying you back for all the evil that you have done. That's just the monitors going off there. The Lord is paying you back for all the evil that you have done to other people. At last, you're getting a taste of your own medicine. You deserve everything that is coming to you. Wow. What an attack. How quickly they come. One moment the person is fine, the next moment an all-out assault. I know you've experienced it. Now, let's discover something, okay? Let's discover something. Let's discover who said these words and to whom. Who said that and to whom? God's word tells us, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. 2 Samuel. Chapter 16, 7 and 8. It's amazing. These words are in the Word of God, but they're teaching tools. They're teaching us. Let's look at it. Verse 7 and 8. Thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Baal. Wow. 8. The Lord has returned upon thee all the blood of thy house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom unto the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Wow. That's pretty. Ooh. That's sharp, isn't it? Let's look at it. See, this man Shimei is a man of the family of Saul. And he's cursing David as David was fleeing from Absalom because Absalom has revolted against his father. And what happened is he followed David along the road and publicly reviled him, even throwing stones at him. Wow. So this man is following David, throwing stones at him and cursing him. Wow. That's what he's doing. Now, cursing, this is not four-letter vulgarity. This is spiritual cursing him. People don't have to curse you with gestures and four-letter words. They can curse you just like this. See, this man of Saul's house has misjudged all the events that has taken place between David and Saul. And these false and reviling statements which he threw at David came like spears and arrows to David as he walked along. Now see, the facts of the matter was totally different. David was neither bloody nor wicked. He didn't come to power by wicked means, not at all. He didn't come to power by wicked means and unlawful gestures and unlawful way. He came to power by God's will. David is being totally falsely accused. He knew it. God knew it. But it still hurts anyway. And it does. I'll raise my hand on behalf of all of you. And I just did. Physically. All of us have had that happen to us. I know I have. And I know you have too. Even being falsely accused, David knew it, God knows it, but it hurts anyway. See, you know it, God knows it, but it hurts anyway, doesn't it? Wow. Well, suppose this happens to you again. See, here's what happens. We in our lifetime has had these words come at us and they puncture us. They're piercing words. It's like an arrow being shot at us. An arrow being shot at us and sticking in us. Wow, that hurts. Didn't deserve it. Didn't do anything to want it. Was innocent of it. But it came anyway and stuck in us and it hurts. See, we have in our life arrows in us. They're unseen, of course, but they're there. Just like a shooting gallery where you take a bow and you shoot arrows at a target. Bang, 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 bang. We have that. We've been the target of all these arrows. And not just one time, many times. Over and over and over and over and over again. These arrows have bang, bang. From all kinds of individuals hiding on us and attacking us. Bang, bang. It's right. Bang, bang. And if we could see ourselves in a mirror spiritually, we have arrows everywhere, head to toe, back to front, inside and out, head to foot, left to right, everywhere there's arrows in us. We have been a shooting gallery is what we've been. Now, what should we do about all these arrows that pierced us? Remember, the first teaching yesterday is about cutting words. They're different than piercing words. Cutting words come from friends, family. Piercing words are totally different. They come by an attack or an ambush. What'd they say? They said so-and-so. Ooh. Now, how do you correct the puncture wound? I mean, how do you do that? How do you correct the puncture wound? Let's see. See, unlike treatment of a deep cut, like the sword, bleeding from the puncture wound should be encouraged in order to wash out the wound. We know that. We know that. We know that. We get punctured. Wow, we let it bleed. We talk, oh, let me let it bleed here. Now, let's find out what David did. Notice David's first reaction. 2 Samuel 16. One of David's warriors in verse 9 says this to David, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." Whoa. "Let me go over and cut his head off." Remember, David was the best swordsman ever. You didn't sword fight with David nor his group. They were pros, the professionals, if you want to use those words. You know, ever heard something that said, you never sword fight with Zorro? Zorro would never sword fight with David. Okay? Never sword fight with Zorro. Zorro says, never sword fight with David. David and his boys were professionals. They would kill you. They knew what they were doing, and they fought in battle. But to go and take the kingdom, no. That was not the case. Look what David says in verse 10. "And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Ziba? So let him curse." Let him curse? Don't try to stop him. You see, here's what Etsy says. "Because the Lord had said unto him, curse David, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" See, what happened, there's something going to happen further down in the text. Further along. So David said, go ahead and let him curse. He didn't stop him. No, go ahead, keep cursing. Keep cursing. Because David knew something. David knew something. Second thing you do is that you cleanse the wound with soap and water. See, a puncture wound contains more bacteria and impurities and poses a greater danger of infection than a cut. That's right. You get punctured, greater danger, because the piercing goes deeper. Cuts on the surface. Wow, I cut my finger just now with a knife. Wow. I got stabbed with the knife. See the difference? Because a cut, the victim must realize that additional pain of cleansing, an additional cleansing with soap and water will be for his ultimate healing. That was David's outlook in verse 10 and verse 12. "It may be that the Lord will look at this, verse 12, on my affliction, and the Lord will look at this, requit me good." I'm going to get blessed for his cursing this day. I'm going to get blessed. God has something good for me in all of this. And God did. In David's life and your life as well. David's life and your life as well. Thirdly, the victim of a puncture needs to be ministered to by those who understand how to treat them. David had to stop his men from taking an offense. See, The cutting off of the head would have been an offense. If that group would have gone against the cursor, Shammai, and cut his head off, it would have been an offensive to David and the Lord. So he gained their understanding and support by explaining why God was allowing this to happen. He put the present situation into a bigger picture. A bigger picture, a larger picture. Look at the perspective. Why have you heard that somebody has said something that's untrue? Look at the bigger perspective. 4, the victim of a puncture needs time to rest. A puncture will draw a person of physical and emotional strength. Just drain them, which are vital to the healing process. Look at 13 and 14. And as David's men went by the way, Shammai went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and cast dust, which is casting dust is contempt. Contempt. 14. And the king of all the people, look at this. The king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. After David has been reviled, him and his men are tired. They stop and they rested while the cursing continued. Cursing didn't stop. You see anywhere that he stopped cursing, David? You read that anywhere? Cursing didn't stop. David and the men are resting. Cursing continued. Why did this happen? Well, let's look at it. What should you do if you are hurt by words that pierce your soul? That's right. What should you do? Just what David did. And one more thing. In 2 Samuel 19, 16 through 23. 2 Samuel 19, 16 through 23. You're not going to read it. It's there. You can look it up on your own. Know what happened? David forgave Shammai. And you should give those that have pierced you. You see, that's one of the hardest things to do is the forgiveness. Now, let's put the shoe on the other foot. What about if you are giver of piercing words, what should you do? Ask the person to forgive you. 2 Samuel 19:19. Ask the person to forgive you and don't do it again. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. Shammai did not learn his lesson. What? He didn't learn. Some people just miss it. David, on his deathbed, warned Solomon, wow, of Shammai's actions. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 2, 8, 9. The next king is coming. Look at this. Eight and nine. And behold, now he's speaking to Solomon. Behold, thou hast with thee Shammai, he's still living, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite, which cursed me with grievous curses in the day when I went to Menahem, but he came down to meet me at Jordan. And I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. You think about that. I will not put thee to death. I'm not going to kill you. Verse 9. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knoweth what thou oughtest to do with him. But his hoar head, which means gray hair, bring thou down to the grave with blood. So, in his wisdom, Solomon makes a proclamation. In 1 Kings chapter 2, 36 through 38, at the bottom of the chapter, look at this. Look at this. And the king sent and called Shimei and said to him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth hence any whither. Stay there. Look at this. 37. And it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thy own head. I'm putting you in safety, but here's what you have to do. Here's my instructions to you. Don't go across the brook Kidron. Look what this guy says. The saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so will I servant do. And he dwells in Jerusalem. Smart guy, is he? So Solomon says, you're on probation. You have to stay here. And this is what you have to do. Now look what happens. 39. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away. Look at this. Look at this. They go to another place of Gath, the king, and they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. So, the servants he has, he's the king Saul's son, runs away, goes to Gath. Look at this. 40. And Shimei arose and went to Gath to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. He breaks the king's word and his promise. Here's what happens. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent for him and said, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protest unto thee, saying, for I know of certain on the day thou goest out and working abroad with whither thou shalt surely die? And thou sayest to me, thy word have I heard is good. 43. Why thou hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and commandment I have charged with thee? 44. The king said, thou knowest all the wickedness which is in thy heart, which is privy to, and thou didst to my David my father, before the Lord shall return thy wickedness unto thy own head. 45. And Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. Here it comes. Verse 46. The king commands one of his soldiers to go out and kill him, and he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Saul. So he is executed by Solomon's men. What an end to a person that used piercing words. and don't let it happen to you. See, God wants to help you right now. If you're a giver or receiver of piercing words, let God heal you right now. Father, we ask today that you would heal those that have had piercing words said to them. We all have, so they all need healing. And heal those that have said piercing words and ask forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tomorrow, look at biting words. Need to listen.